Okay, we are up to Ois Tezayin in the Maimer Hasheni, which is on page 35. And the Kuzari had told the Chavar not to digress to other topics, but to continue talking about the praises of Eretz Yisrael. And in Tezayin, he picks up on it and, of course, proceeds to digress to another topic, which I guess is predictable. But at least he starts, Amar HaChaver, Ha'isam U'medes Lihiyasher Kol Ha'ilam. He says that from the beginning of creation, Eretz Yisrael was poised to be the source of Yashrus, the source of positive influence to the whole world. And had things gone as they were set up in the beginning, that would have been it. Eretz Yisrael would have been the source, and it would have influenced the world. As things turned out, Muchenes, some have a girsa, Raki Muchenes, Meshifte B'nei Yisrael, Me'esi Pariet HaLashaynais. From the time of the Tower of Babel, where the nations were separated to separate nations, Eretz Yisrael no longer became the source of influence for the whole world, but turned into the source of influence for Klal Yisrael specifically, K'may Shenemar, Bahanchil El Yain Gayim Bahafidai Bnei Adam. At the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated the people at the Tower of Babel, Eretz Yisrael became designated as a Nachla for Klal Yisrael. Which means to say that it's inherent in the land that the positive influence to Klal Yisrael is going to come from the land, from Eretz Yisrael. I believe there's a Rashba who teaches the bracha Hamoitzi lechem in haaretz, that the word haaretz refers to Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to ha'adama. He says Hamoitzi lechem in haaretz, that the shefa of bracha comes to Eretz Yisrael, and from there it spreads to the rest of the world. So God is moitzi lechem, which is the staff of life, is its source is min ha'aretz, from Eretz Yisrael. Ha'aretz is the only bracha that has 10 words in it. They all have 9. It's sort of the more complete bracha. It's ha'aretz. And that also is saying that the source of bracha comes from Eretz Yisrael. V'loini tochein la'avraham she'idabek be'inyin alaki. It wasn't possible for Avraham Avinu to connect completely to God, and to enter into a bris bein habsarim with Hashem. It had to be in Eretz Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu was told lech lecha before he made a bris bein habsarim. And certainly the hamoin segula, the multitude, the nation of Klal Yisrael, is appropriately called the Eretz Am Hashem only in the Nachlas Hashem. Ubi'item kivuim imenu yisparach. He mentioned earlier that both the space and the time have to be special. So the time that's special are the Sholish Regalim, Mumba'ila Regel, Loime Askama Aleim. Now Loime Askama Aleim means the holidays of the Umas Ha'ilam are just by a general consensus. There's a consensus that a certain day should be a holiday, and it's a consensus. He says that's not true about the Yom Kippur, about the Chagim. The Chagim have inherent special meaning, which gives them the status as a Chag. Nothing to do with the wisdom of the stars. Nikru Maya De Hashem B'tarais Va'avoida is with Tara and the Avoida in the Beis Hamikdash and Dvarim, Umaisim Shu'orim Etzla Yisbarach, and set things from Hashem, Nikra, Malachas Hashem, Va'avoidas Hashem. Yerli has said that Lifnei Hashem always means Eretz Yisrael. Whenever it says in Chumash something happened Lifnei Hashem, it was in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore. That's interesting, yeah. Okay. Very interesting. That Tahara is from Eretz Yisrael, and that we've had. All right, so he's talking about the praise of Eretz Yisrael and how it's special. Omer HaKuzari, it's not clear here, the Mefarshim have different suggestions what this line is. B'seder ezer roi sheyirik vayit Hashem l'uma nikras am Hashem. The way the Oitz HaNechman teaches it, he's saying, if so, there should be something within the land. There should be something within the land that's visible and that shows its special connection. And to that, the Chavar replies, Amar Chavar, Halaytira Ech Kibla Ha'aret Shavasais. You'll see how the land has its own Shemitah. Kamo Sha'amar Shabbos Ha'aret, Mishav Sa'aret Shabbos Lashem, Loinasa Rishus Lamaychu Litzmisus, and the land cannot be sold permanently. I don't think we adequately appreciate what it means that every Yovel the land goes back to its original owners. You know, we talk about changing neighborhoods and about people moving, and what happened in Eretz Yisrael is that every 50 years when Yovel came, and Yovel's not always 50 years away, sometimes it's 10 years away or 20 years away or 2 years away. Every 50 years, everyone moved. It was a mass movement. Anybody, any people that had moved somewhere else in the last 50 years moved back home. All families moved back to the same area of land that was their original family land, and everything got reset to the original pieces of land that they had. So machlekes in the Gemara, and this is mind-boggling, there's a machlekes in the Gemara when Yarshim inherit. Let's say a man dies and he's got 5 children. So each one, they divide his fields, each one gets. And the 5 children have 5 children each. They have 25 children. They divided the land. There's machlekes in the Gemara if the division, when children divide the father's Yerusha, is like a sale. Or if it's considered to be a retroactive Yerusha. The technicality is not important. The bottom line is that according to one of the opinions of the Gemara, every Yovel, the division of the inheritance goes back as well. In other words, the whole family, all the descendants of whoever it was that came into Eretz Yisrael, Nachshon Ben Aminadav or Kavin, all his descendants, and you're talking 200 years later, you could have easily have 1,000 descendants. They all come and have this big meeting, and presumably they would somehow come to an arrangement where people wouldn't have to be disrupted too much. But everyone came together and it all went back to the way it was originally. Now, there's a deeper reason for that. And that is that when the Shvatim were divided, each Shevet was given a road in serving Hashem. Each Shevet had its own path in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that Zvulun and Yisach and Zvulun are the most famous, because they had a famous division of roles. But every Shevet had its own role in serving Hashem, and it's somehow the nature of that Shevet. And I remember once Rav Wolfson, who was a Mashkiach in Tarvadas, should be well, was giving a shmooze, and he says, look, Shevet Levi is supposed to be the teachers. So he says, well, look around Tarvadas. Rav Palm is a Kayin. Rav Shor is a Levi. Rav Shaps was a Kayin. Rav Chazan was a Levi. You know, he went through, you know, I don't remember if I made the charts at that stage, but you know, that his point was that there is something in the nature of the Shvatim. Now, anybody can do better or worse than his nature, but there is something in the nature of the Shvatim. And that would not have stayed had there been a natural movement of people all over Eretz Yisrael. It stayed because in the system, every 50 years, the Shevet got back together again. It's sort of like, the best example would be a Hasidus. A Hasidus takes pride in whatever the members of the Hasidus feel is their symbol of the Hasidus. I like to mention that when I was in camp, I was in Benos for 11 years. The cook there is a Belz Chassid. Excellent cook. And Belz in Keser, they say, we say Al Yad Nevi'echa, V'koraz Al Zavi Yomar, in Kedusha. And in Keser we say Al Yad Nevi'echa. Belz says Al Yedei Nevi'echa, whatever reason. When he said Kedusha, he said Al Yedei very loud. You know, Al Yedei Nevi'echa, that was his, a statement. He's a Belz Chassid, and he's in Camp Benos. He's the only Belz Chassid, and there's one other. Al Yedei, you say it loud because it's something Belz does. It's a pride. So with the Shvatim, it was very much that way. The Shvatim came back to their land, and they each went to his own section of land, and had his, identity, a special identity within Klal Yisrael. So this is the Laisimache Litzmisus, Kamesh Omar Varth Laisimache Litzmisus, Kiliha Akala Aretz, Veda, Kishapse Sashem, Omayade Hashem, Omnam Heim Tluyim Menachlas Hashem. And know that the Shapsay Sashem, which here refers to the, Kuntim Farshim at the bottom, actually refers to Shabbos, and the Mayadim Heim Tluyim Menachlas Hashem. Okay, there's a Rashi of Chumash, a very controversial Rashi. Some say it's a toss-up. Listen to Rashi. Rashi says that when you go to Golus, you'll keep the Shabbosis and the Yamtif, so you don't fall out of practice when you come back. Okay, where's the Rashi?
Akev.
Always good to have everything. So Rashi says when you go to Golus, keep up the mitzvahs. You shouldn't fall out of practice.
Shabbosis may be referring to Shmita.
He's not. He's referring to all the mitzvahs. He mentions tefillin.
He
mentions tefillin there. It's a very strange thing. Rashi says, you go to Golus, keep the mitzvahs, so you shouldn't be out of practice. You get back. Sounds like all the mitzvahs are tefillin baretz. So, you know, they have all kinds of suggestions that there were abbreviations, that the printers, that it meant things like Shemitah and Truma, and the abbreviations were broken up by the... you know, maybe Shabbos at Tfilin should have been Shemitah and Truma, whatever it was. But there's still the idea. There's still the idea that the main place is Eretz Yisrael. It seems the most plausible. You blame everything on the printers. That's
why
we blame everything on the printers, which is probably true anyway.
It's the majority of the mitzvot only apply there.
The majority of the mitzvot only apply in Eretz Yisrael when the Beis Hamikdash is standing. It's true. It's true.
The vast majority.
I challenge people to come up with 10 mitzvahs I say. Lois I say there are plenty, but I say 10 mitzvahs I say that you keep on a daily basis. You have to come up with 10, right? You have tefillin and tzitzis and kriya shema. Kibud av v'eim for most of our lives, we hope. And berachas hamazon. And emunah. Okay, this is tamidius. What? But you only got up to 5. Schiritzis Mitzrayim, okay. Zuzah, so you have 7.
You know, the ones related to Purim, only apply over there.
Right. Yeah. So at any rate, this is the message.
But what's interesting is when we talk about the relationship between Israel and Eretz Israel, you know, it sounds like it was a permanent gift to us, but if you read this pasuk here, the Haaretz Lo Tivashos Smisus Ki Li Haaretz, it sounds like there's still an element of ownership by Hashem. He gave it to us, okay. But Hashem is saying it's not
right.
Mine.
That's fine. It's not a contradiction.
No, not a contradiction.
What about following your rabbi, the rabbi?
What?
Like
following Rabbanim. Yeah, but not everyone does that.
Is it a mitzvah to say?
Yes, it is.
Okay. It's like he's giving the trust to his kids.
Yeah.
That's what Rabbi Shlomo is doing.
What?
It's like when a father gives a trust to his kids, but he still has control. Father, he wants the trust to go to his kids.
It's actually a lav, lois asur. The next line is the most written about line in the whole Kuzari. The next line and the next few sentences, those who have my print, I can turn a few pages and see that there is a extraordinary 10 pages of commentary. Let me read the line and we'll see the response next time. Let's understand the basics of it. Omer HaKuzari. Haloit chilas kevius hayomim. The beginning of the setting of days. This means the date line. The date line, the day begins min hatzin. Sin is China. That's the most eastern point of the settled world. Now, he's really asking a question. If Eretz Yisrael is the middle of everything, why doesn't the day begin in Eretz Yisrael? Because it's the middle. But it's not smack in the middle either. It's 6 hours off.
It doesn't mean exactly middle. So, exactly.
Of course it doesn't, but I said, let me tell you what's going on here with the Kuzari, and we'll try to understand it next time. The English Kuzaris that you have with the translation, what's his name? I forgot to. He did an excellent job. He has in the back an appendix on it. In the biography of the Chazon Ish, there's also an excellent chapter on the date line. Really excellent chapter on the date line, and I contributed to that particular chapter, which is why it's so excellent, in my opinion. But the story of the dateline in contemporary times is the story of the Mir Yeshiva and a few other yeshivas, a number of other yeshivas, that traveled to Japan, to Kobe, Japan. They ended up in Shanghai, which is more famous, but they first traveled to Kobe, to Japan, where for some reason somebody had built a shul. Many years earlier, built a large shul, which had no...
That was in Shanghai.
Yeah, that was, they considered that to be a semi-miracle. They ended up in there, and they had this big shul. And the Mir Yeshiva and other yeshivas learned there when they fled the Nazis in World War II. Now, the issue with Japan became an issue when the first Yom Kippur was coming around. Shana Yom Kippur, Sukkot was coming around. And the question was, it was a general question for Shabbos as well. The question was where the dateline is, where the international dateline is. Now, I've had people tell me, Yiddishkeit, there's no dateline, no such thing as a dateline. There can't be no such thing as a dateline, just physically impossible that there's no such thing. And I've explained it to people by using a baseball game as an example, where when a baseball game on the West Coast starts at 8 p.m., it starts here in New York at 11. I remember staying up late to listen to him. So it starts in the West Coast at 8 p.m. I hear it's 11 p.m. And if you keep on going, so in Eretz Yisrael, when it's here, it's 11 p.m., there it's 6 a.m. So if they want to listen to a game in California, they have to get up at 6 a.m. Now, if you go from Eretz Yisrael to Japan, that's another 7 hours. So instead of getting up 6 a.m., they can listen to it 1 p.m. They can listen to the 8 p.m., right? Now, from Japan, if there's no dateline, you just keep on going to California 7 hours later. And the next night, 8 p.m., the game is taking place, which took place the night before at 8 p.m. Right? Because the game is the night before 8 p.m. and it's 1 p.m. in Japan, so 7 hours is the next night. There's gotta be a dateline. There's gotta be a place where we change the date. And the question is where that is. There was an extraordinary dispute, in Eretz Yisrael at the time. A cable was sent, a telegram was sent, to ask for a psak, it's get to Shabbos. And Shabbos was one thing, but Yom Kippur, Shabbos, it could be Machmir. But Yom Kippur, to fast 2 days, especially people, they were not exactly eating and buying a pomegranate at that stage. They weren't well fed, and the fasting 2 days Yom Kippur would be dangerous. So they sent a telegram to Eretz Yisrael. Now they made the mistake of sending multiple telegrams to Eretz Yisrael, because the Ger Rebbe was in Eretz Yisrael, so the Ger Chassidim sent to him. And there are those who sent to the Chazon Ish, and those who sent to Rav Tikhatzinsky as one of the, he was the Ishmaisa, the Talmud Chacham Ishmaisa in Yerushalayim. And Rav Tikhatzinsky suggested calling a Vad of Chachmei Yisrael and coming to a decision. The feeling of most of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael was that Eretz Yisrael is the center, and if you take a globe, wherever you have Eretz Yisrael on one side, you go to the other side of the globe, that's the dateline, and then when you hit Eretz Yisrael, it's 12 hours later, and when you travel, so it's 12 hours. And that was based on the Chazal, that Eretz Yisrael is the center of the world. The Gemara says it's the center of the world, and therefore, logically, that should be, the dateline should be on the other side of the globe. Now that takes you to the middle of the Pacific Ocean, which is not far from the accepted dateline. Today's dateline that the secular world uses is by convention. They just drew a line at the point that would interfere with the fewest people's lives in the least populated part of the world. And they're down the Pacific Ocean. However, since they wanted Hawaii to be with the mainland, so the line goes down and then it sort of cuts around Hawaii to push Hawaii and the Marshall Islands into America. Alaska was with Russia until it was purchased by the United States, and then the dateline was changed, because if it's not a religious thing, it's just a practical thing, you change it by convention. However, for us, it would have to be an accepted psak halacha with a straight line. Chazon Ish disagreed. The Chazon Ish held that the dateline is 6 hours from Eretz Yisrael at the coast of China. And he further held that it's not logical that on a piece of land, you step over on one side, and it's one day, and another day, and they build the same house. So he further held that wherever the date line is 6 hours later, you go to the coast. The coast is not a straight line, the coast of China. So you go to the coast of China, presumably Korea, which is not an island, which is a peninsula, is part of the mainland. But Japan, which is an island, a different story. Japan is on the other side of the date line. And that was the opinion of the Chazon Ish. And when they asked for a convention, the Chazon Ish wrote that you can't convene people on a topic that most people have never spent their energy on. And he said that the idea that it's 12 hours away is not mafurish in any region. It's a question, it's a logical argument. And I have 7 Rishayim, and Kuzari is one of them, that says that the coast of China is the date line.
Is what?
Is the date line. The coast of China is the date line. So this was a disagreement, and it was very, very difficult. I once spoke to Rav Reuven Fein, who was there. He said Shabbos, they couldn't be caught in the street without identification papers. They'd be deported. So Shabbos, there was no Erev in Kobe. They had to decide either spend the whole Shabbos in yeshiva or the whole Shabbos at home. Tough decision, right? So the married one spent it in yeshiva, we know. But it was a very hard time. What was interesting is that a certain Rav. Today his grandson keeps the strange times in Eretz Yisrael. That was Marav Emel of the day. What's his name? Amshinova. Right? So his Zayda, the Amshinova Rebbe, came, and everybody was waiting to see which day he'll keep for Shabbos. Because, you know, Shabbos, a lot of shaylos putting on tefillin. It's one thing to fast 2 days, it's hard. But how do you keep Shabbos 2 days? And Amshinova came, and the dispute had already taken place. He locked himself in his room for 48 hours. He didn't want to show what he holds. He didn't want everybody to rely on him. And he locked himself in a room. Today, by most paiskim, at least in the yeshiva world, it's accepted that it's a suffix. We see it as a suffix. Which is the date line? And I have people here who have to go to Alaska, have to go to Hawaii. Is less frequent. There was once they tried to make Pesach in Hawaii. They rented a hotel, and they had a loss because a lot of people who had initially wanted to go to Hawaii and canceled because 8 days Pesach is one thing, but 9 days Pesach, you know, it's
what?
8 days Pesach is one thing, but 9 days Pesach. You know, you have a suffix. You have more money, okay. Anyway, it just made everything very difficult. And the halach lemaisa, Ramesha held it's a suffix. Rabbi David told me Ramesha held it's a suffix. I once told somebody to cancel his trip. He was going on a cruise to Alaska. I told him, unless he can leave on Thursday, cancel. Because don't be there Friday. So he called Rabbi David Feinstein. Rabbi David Feinstein told him he shouldn't go. And we have Mispalim here who have the Shaila sometimes. We have people, Japan is a Shaila. There's somebody here who goes to China frequently and likes to take the Matzah Shabbos flight back. He actually flies into Shabbos. He flies into Shabbos, which I told him is not a problem, at least not a Chal Shabbos. He flies into Shabbos, and it's an issue in general when they fly over the poles. You have an issue anyway with Shabbos. But anyway, this was the great dispute. And I doubt Rabbi Yehuda Halevi realized, you know, that when he wrote this, that 850 years later, there would be people analyzing what it says here as far as establishing the date line. All right, so that's the overview of it. Rabbi Yitzchak Hashem, the Kuzar says, Tchilas Yamin Hatzid, they should Tchilas HaMizrach LeYishuv, and the Chavar's response that Rabbi Yitzchak Hashem will do Monday night. Now the Yeshiva...